Hello, my name is Vesa Juvonen. I work as Senior Program Manager in Office 365. Within this video, we'll have a look on the user profile and personalization on with SharePoint adding model. And what we mean with that one is that we take advantage we take a look on how to take advantage of the SharePoint user profile in the on-premises or within the Office 365 within your customizations. And pretty much all of the kind of a relevant functionalities within were related on user profile service, like the social functionalities and also the OneDrive for Business. So let's have a look on the agenda of the video. And so we kind of start with an introduction on the social or CSAM side of the user profile properties. The second section is then the custom attribute replication. And what we mean that one is that how do we replicate custom on-premises attributes to Office 365 user profile service. Because you can absolutely have whatever attributes from the on-premises Active Directory or from any on-premises service replicated to the user profile service. Then we're gonna have a look on the Yammer integration with sites, and that refers more on the social section or social area of the user profile. Because in the Office 365, you would not be actually using the classic SharePoint user profile. We do use Yammer for these functionalities. In this particular section, we concentrate more on how to utilize the Yammer with SharePoint sites and take advantage of the Yammer discussions and groups within the SharePoint site. And then the final section is the OneDrive for Business and the customization patterns for OneDrive for Business. We are just about to release a new version of the OneDrive for Business user experience, and I'm going to slightly talk about that one. So there's two different experiences in a OneDrive, which are both kind of covered within that section of the video. Before we go to the actual content of the module or video, let's have a look on the developer vision around Office 365. And really the Office 365 developer vision focuses on the user experiences and their data and getting access on that data. As a developer, you can bring your application into the end user experiences, including the Office applications and different devices, and the SharePoint obviously as one of the options. There's a 1.2 billion end users within the Office worldwide. So this is absolutely a massive opportunity for you as a developer to take advantage of all of these great APIs which we are releasing to get access on the information, the right information, what the end users are having. And then you're able to build your own customizations and applications and solutions on top of these APIs. Going back on the actual module, so every single video what we do within the section perspective, we also have always this recommendation slides, which is pretty much a summary around the recommendations on the particular topics. So if you have time only to check up one slide from the video, this is the slide to go through. We will absolutely cover more insights on every single recommendation within the module as we go. But this is more or less the summary slide on things. You can use CSAM, client-side object model, for user profile operations, and that's what you should be doing, especially in Office 365. But obviously, if you want to implement your customization in a way that it works both in on-premises and in Office 365, the client-side object model is the right thing to do. In on-premises, you could still absolutely take advantage of the server-side APIs or even the web services, but we do have this powerful client-side object model for user profile operations, which we absolutely recommend you to take advantage. For the Yammer, we absolutely recommend you to take Yammer into use for your social capabilities. The Yammer is the future social platform for Office 365. And that doesn't mean that it's only for the cloud. So it's actually a platform which you can use for on-premises SharePoint as well to enable the social capabilities within the on-prem. And we're going to slightly touch that during the session as well, but this is not really a Yammer training or Yammer module, so I'm not going to go too detailed on that one within the video. Then the third thing to cover is the customization design within the OneDrive for business sites. And clear recommendation is not actually to customize them. You can take advantage, for example, for applying Office 365 themes to your OneDrive for business sites, getting that same branding consistency across your company. But we do not recommend you to do any actual customizations, a custom master pages or any other elements within OneDrive for business sites. And definitely the metadata requirements is a one section or one area within the customization sign, which we do not recommend you to take advantage or use within the OneDrive for business sites. As a rule of a thumb, OneDrive for business sites should be considered not really as a SharePoint site, as a personal location for free flow data and free flow documents. And then whenever the data or documents is relocated to a SharePoint site or another SharePoint location, that's where you can take advantage of all of these goodies within a SharePoint site, like the metadata and all of that. It's really about the future roadmap of the OneDrive as well, which we're going to talk about slightly on the upcoming slides as well. Let's start with an introduction for the client side or the user profile section and the user profile client side object model. And we do have a user profile client side object model. It does provide access on the capabilities like user profile access and reading a profile properties. So you're able to read the user profile property values and then, for example, aggregate information differently based on that. You're able to also change the user profile picture. Reading of these values within the user profile is supported in all of the platforms, but updating is also available within the Office 365 for now. We do understand that it's slightly inconsistent. Why would we have a CSAM support for updating user profile properties only in Office 365, but not for the on-premises? But this is something where we absolutely would like you to provide us feedback using the Office Dev user voice, if that's capability is needed for on-premises. One key point also to understand is that the manipulation of user profile property configuration, which is the settings available in a user profile service application, is not available with remote APIs. So you're unable to actually introduce new user profile properties within the profile. You can configure them manually, and then you're able to or add them manually to your tenants, and then you can take advantage of them or replicate data towards them. But there's no remote APIs to actually create the user profile properties within the service application level with code. The user profile CSAM can be used from .NET applications or from JavaScript. So there's a .NET assembly, which is providing the client-side object model. There's a RESTful interface available for this one as well. And then there's JavaScript object model for these operations as well. I kind of mentioned this one already. The user profile property value editing is only for SharePoint Online. Why not for on-premises? And it is a valid question, absolutely. This really came down on resources and priorities. At the time this was implemented for Office 365, it was the number one ask for Office 365 site. Because in on-premises, you can still do a workaround with the user profile service application, or you can expose a custom WCF endpoint to enable this capability for you. Those options are not available in Office 365, so it was a prioritization based on the resources which are available. But if you need this, and if this is really crucial for your customizations within your enterprise or for your customers, please use the user voice at officesbdev.uservoice.com. There is already entries about this one there, but add some votes, and we will then know. How to prioritize this in the future. Good. We do have that CSAM. What do we want to do with the CSAM? So what we can actually do with that one? Why is that actually interesting? Well, the client-side object model for user profile is giving us the capability of accessing user profile property values in our customizations to check different stored values for specific users. And this is really for you to take advantage, for example, to easily provide personalized experiences dependent on user attributes. As an example, you could have dynamic links, images, areas, maps, whatever, based on the user's office location. You could have a different aggregation of news in the front page of the intranet based on the organizational ID. You could have whatever additional attributes or additional functionalities dependent on the attribute information. And how we do this is that we use either the .NET client object model for provider-hosted applications or JavaScript APIs for SharePoint-hosted or embedding JavaScript options to build that logic to limit what's being shown or based on the user profile attributes. Let's have an example. Let's have a look on this one. This is one of the patterns and practices samples named as userprofile.manipulation.csum. So how do we manipulate user profile attributes and user profile values using the client-side object model? Relatively simple sample shows the API, doesn't show actually the scenarios, but you can enable with the API. But we'll come back on that one in a second. So we have the API. What we can do with the API? We kind of covered some of these, ideas already. But a few examples could be something like cross-site collection navigation with personalized links. So you could provide a custom top-level navigation across your individual site collections. And one of the links within the navigation could be based on your organizational value, or based on your team value, or based on your office location. There could be a lunch menus behind one of the links, and the lunch menu will be the link target will be updated based on the user profile property value. Good example. We could show personalized images and links to country level sites in the front page if that's what we're looking for. We could have personalized information based on the role of the particular user. We could, as an example, we could show different kind of sales figures or different kind of graphics if the persons are working in a sales organization. We can do links, lists, images, or weather based on the whatever user profile data. So as an example, relatively typical requirement for global intranets is to show the weather for the following days based on the user profile location or the office location of the particular user. Or the classical example of showing personalized news on the particular users or based on particular users' organization, including the global news. We've seen that being implemented quite a few times. So using then the client-side object model or using the JavaScript object model as an example to get access on those attributes and then maybe use a search API or whatever means to then get information what you want to show and filter that. Really, really compelling scenarios what we can enable with the user profile attributes. One of the things related on the user profile, so when we are in on-premises, when we're doing hosting the SharePoint in on-premises, you can actually really easily go and manipulate what attributes are being replicated from the from the Active Directory. When we are, however, in Office 365, you cannot modify the standard set of attributes which are being replicated from the Azure AD, the SharePoint Online. And what we can do, however, is that we're able to implement this using then proper APIs, which are exposed. So we can absolutely do this, even though it's not natively supported by SharePoint, at least SharePoint Online or Office 365, at least for the time being. You may want to, and typical requirements on this one is, for example, you might want to replicate address information for particular users from their Azure AD or AD attributes to their user profile in SharePoint so that you're able to expose that information, for example, in People Search. Unfortunately, the address information, the classical address information attributes in the Azure AD are not actually replicated to the SharePoint profile store. So therefore, we need to actually implement something which is responsible of this replication. And typical way of implementing this is to have a remote job or remote timer job, which updates the profile properties based on either on-premises SharePoint or on-premises LOB system or on-premises whatever system you want these attributes to be replicated. And let's have a look on the options on this one. So the design is pretty much following. We need to have, obviously, on the left side, we have the SharePoint online. On the right side, we have the customer Active Directory. And that's the on-premises Active Directory. What will happen is that whenever you get your identities replicated, you will get a different set of attributes replicated to the Azure Active Directory as well. You can actually select which attributes are replicated. So between the number one or the arrow number one, we can actually select what attributes are being replicated from the on-premises Active Directory to the Azure Active Directory. Now, the number two section is the problematic one. This is a standardized fixed set of attributes, so you cannot actually modify which of the attributes are being replicated to which per-user profile property properties in the Office 365. Like you can do within on-premises. And this means that you're getting a subset of attributes being getting replicated, but it might be that you need to have some additional settings. And for that one, you then need to have a custom synchronization tool. This could be something which is community-driven or community-developed. This could be a third-party ISV-driven solution. But something which is not out of the box within the SharePoint or Office 365 has to be responsible of replicating then those custom attributes, for example, from on-premises LOB system. So let's say that the number four fellow is an HR system in on-premises where you're storing your relevant HR information or your address information, and you want that to be replicated to the Office 365 or user profile. You have that custom synchronization tool, which is then responsible of replicating that information from on-premises to the user profile store within the cloud, using, again, the CSM APIs, which are available. The alternative is however, one of the alternatives is that that custom synchronization tool is actually running in the Azure as well. So we make sure that as number one bullet within the slide, we're replicating all the needed attributes from on-premises, from the on-premises Active Directory, if that information is there, to the Azure Active Directory within the Microsoft Azure. And then this custom synchronization tool contacts Azure Active Directory and copies that information to the SharePoint user profile so that you're able to take advantage of these attributes within your customizations. We do have an example, which is pretty much used by many customers already as part of the patterns and practices guidance for Office 365. And that's a tool which you can set to be running in a Microsoft Azure as a web job, which is then connecting to your Azure Active Directory and replicating needed attributes for the user profiles in a SharePoint Office 365. So there are community tools available, and there's definitely an ISV-based tools available for this one as well. And then whenever the attributes are being replicated, you can take advantage of those functionalities or attributes in your functionality. So as an example, show information or whatever the scenario is based on the attributes, what you have replicated from the Azure AD or from the LOB system or Active Directory in on-premises. Again, the details of the connectivity, the details from where you're connecting, that's almost secondary. We need to understand that it's only a standardized set of attributes which are going from the Azure Active Directory to the SharePoint service by default. Anything after on top of that, you'll need to have a tool which is responsible for replicating those additional attributes in for your customizations. Moving on the content, let's concentrate on Yammer with sites. And with sites, I obviously mean SharePoint, either in on-premises or within the Office 365. And why would we be doing that? So, well, quite often people are quite, there are a lot of customers who started using Yammer as their social platform. In Office 365, we don't offer SharePoint social as an option. We want people actually use the Yammer, where we have a constant development happening and additional innovation in the Yammer UIs and Yammer functionalities. And it's really about the future of the Office 365 social is the Yammer solution. But then quite often people and customers and end users are asking that why can't I actually combine the social capabilities from Yammer with the SharePoint collaboration capabilities, or a user profile, or let's say intranet portal built on top of the SharePoint. And actually I can. The Yammer has a really powerful embedding capability, first of all, which is essentially embedding a JavaScript on the page, which will then transform that section to be a Yammer discussion board. Or you can take advantage of the Yammer RESTful APIs for more advanced scenarios. The embedding is really easy. You can do that for any page or any site. And obviously, you can automate that one as well, which is one of the things included in the patterns and practices guidance as a sample as well. So what does this actually give us? So if you're using a Yammer as an isolated service, you can't really take advantage of the Yammer social capabilities. But combining the Yammer with sites or SharePoint, you could, for example, do something like what we're seeing in here. You could show the user profile information within the SharePoint header section. You could, for example, use the RESTful APIs to get latest user network activities or the communities and groups, or show some of the entries in the particular user's network. And then whenever a person is clicking some of those URLs, they're being redirected to the Yammer site. And then obviously on the middle, we have that Yammer discussion. So personal messages, for example, or it might be your own activity list, or it might be a group discussion, what we're showing within the front page of the SharePoint in an embedded way. In the same way, if we think about a collaboration site, it's a relatively typical ask that what if we would actually switch the site discussion with the Yammer discussion? And we can absolutely do this. We can absolutely even automate the fact that we are replacing the existing site discussion with the Yammer discussion. So then that discussion is both discoverable in the site level or in the Yammer level. And it's then a consistent social experience across the Yammer and all of the other services in Office 365 plus, obviously, the SharePoint sites. Definitely doable. It's not there by default, even in Office 365 for SharePoint collaboration sites, but we can easily customize this one if that's truly a requirement within your case. One of the things what we also wanted to kind of pinpoint is that you can actually take the advantage of this exact same option for on-premises as well. And that means this, that as long as your end users have an internet connectivity, not the SharePoint servers within on-premises, your end users, you're able to take advantage of the Yammer as your social platform in on-premises as well. So this is not just for Office 365. In on-premises, you could automate that site discussion lists change, also the Yammer group, if you would like to do so. This is a relatively complex scenario to explain, but this is a real-life scenario with one enterprise customer who actually had three different regional SharePoint deployments, one in US, one in Europe, and one in APAC. And one of the challenges with the SharePoint is that when you have a multiple SharePoint farms, the user profile and social experience is not actually consistent, because you wouldn't have the SharePoint social replicated across the SharePoint farms. So what we did with that customer is that we took advantage of Yammer. So every single SharePoint farm and every single SharePoint site within those farms actually were modified to use the Yammer as the discussion port and the Yammer as the tool for the user profile as well. It meant that every single end user need to have access on Yammer and need to have access on internet to be able to make this work. But then all of the sites and within all of the farms, they were sharing the exact same user profile. So that whenever you went to look, for example, activities from let's say Vesa or me within one farm, it's actually pointing to the Yammer service. And it's the same story for all of the other farms as well. So really the Yammer is a one way of building a hybrid social experience, even though you would be hosting the SharePoint in on-premises. Or you might be actually hosting the SharePoint in on-premises and Office 365, but then you are able to still take advantage of Yammer in on-premises SharePoint deployment as well. And let's have a look on the Yammer integration in practice. And this is more about manually associating a Yammer feed to the SharePoint site, but it can be also automated. So right in the bottom of the slide, you're able to see a link. Provisioning.yammer is the solution name or sample name, which you're able to find from Office 365 BNB guidance, which is showing how you can automate the adding the embedding Yammer embedding to the sites as part of the site provisioning. Moving on the next section, which is then the OneDrive for Business, and there's quite a few things to cover are related on the OneDrive for Business from a customization perspective and also from a provisioning perspective. The one of the things kind of which is slightly unique within the OneDrive for Business is that this OneDrive for Business sites are created whenever a user actually gets to their sites first time. So you don't actually, we don't pre-create OneDrive for Business sites for every single user by default, at least for time being. So whenever the user goes first time to the OneDrive site, then that's the moment when the OneDrive for Business site is provisioned asynchronously. And this actually is changing some of the customization stories, what we need to think through if we need to do customization for OneDrive for Business sites. It's not precisely recommended to do that, but people are quite often familiar of, for example, enabling some branding elements in the OneDrive for Business sites because they used to do that in the My Sites as well in on-premises. There's also an alternative for getting the OneDrive sites created, which is that we do have a bulk pre-create capability within the OneDrive, which you can take advantage, for example, if you need to, let's say, migrate personal file shares for thousands and thousands of users to Office 365, or you're moving from a different file sharing service to Office 365 and OneDrive for Business. You probably want to you definitely need to automate the migration story, or you might want to automate the migration story. And that's where we need to then automate the pre-creation of the OneDrive for Business site. So we're able to then upload the needed files and documents to the OneDrive for Business sites as part of the migration story. And this is a capability which we introduced as part of the SharePoint 2013 SP1. Obviously, within the Office 365, we don't specifically version our service, calling that as a service back one, but that's pretty much the time frame when this capability was introduced in Office 365. You're able to then pre-create OneDrive for Business sites for the end users without the end users have to go and request the site to be in existent. You're able to get these sites created by using either CSAM or REST interfaces, which makes then possible to either write some code or PowerShell, as an example, to create the sites for numerous persons as once. And how does it actually look like from a code perspective? If we start from the top, we are pointing in our admin UI or admin site, whatever your tenant admin site is, your SharePoint admin tenant URL. Then the REST payload is the list of individual accounts which we want the OneDrive for Business sites to be created. You need to remember that these accounts have to have a license in Office 365, assigned license in Office 365 to be able to this happen. And then there's a 200 user limit of doing this at once. And that's just because we don't want to have a request for 200,000 sites as a one request, and that would then consume significant amount of resources. You are able to do calls for 200, wait for that call to be completed, and then for 200 and 200 and 200. And that's the way you can then scale this approach for thousands and thousands of accounts if needed. So if you are using the CSAM API, there's a create personal site NQ bulk where you are adding that list of email address IDs as a parameter. And when you're executing that, that's going to start then asynchronous creation of those individual OneDrive for Business sites within the cloud. The same applies, or same pretty much applies then obviously for PowerShell. This is for PowerShell, which is pretty much using the CSAM APIs of calling that same API, making sure that you're submitting multiple, well, submitting the request, and you're able to submit a request for multiple accounts at the same time, maximum 200 at the time. And then this request will be again stored, and then there's a server-side timer job within Office 365, which will start creating those OneDrive for Business sites for these accounts as we go. What about OneDrive for Business customization? So this is a classical thing. People are so, quite often customers and end users are so used to have at least some level of customizations within their on-premises that they might be requesting and demanding even similar customizations for OneDrive for Business sites within the cloud. But since these OneDrive for Business sites are created automatically for every person when they visit their personal site first time, the approach of doing this is a slightly different. So there are multiple different approaches. Well, there are alternative approaches which we need to take to apply customizations to OneDrive for Business sites if you truly want to do that. There's pretty much a few different options how to do this, which we will cover slightly more detailed in the upcoming slides. But typically the requirements are related on branding or some document management features, or let's say a warning or additional notifications within the sites. Or it might be governance tasks related on OneDrive for Business sites. It might be a remote timer job, which is checking that are the individual documents on the OneDrive for Business site shared or not, or depending on company policies. Again, really much depends on the use case, and really much depends on what are you planning to do. But technically, if you need to apply customizations to OneDrive for Business sites, you can achieve this by taking advantage of the social CSAM, or pre-creating this site, or taking advantage of social CSAM to create the site for the end user, and then embedding or injecting the needed configurations to the site. I'm going to explain that after a few slides, but before we go to those options, we really want to make sure that you do understand that we do not actually recommend any customizations to be applied in the OneDrive for Business sites. We are just about, in autumn 2015, we will release a new version of the OneDrive for Business with the new experience. And with the new experience, these customization options are limited. And that's for enabling faster innovation within the OneDrive for Business. So we want to avoid the situation where the fact that we're innovating in a OneDrive for Business service, it would be causing issues within the customizations what our customers are using. So there will be pretty significant changes from a customization supportability side in the new experience. And let's actually talk about that one slightly. So what is the new experience and what is the old experience? So first of all, the new experience or the old experience, or well, let's not call it old experience, the official word is classic experience. You are able to control the default experience from a SharePoint admin UI. So as a SharePoint tenant administrator within the SharePoint tenant admin UI, there's a setting how to control the OneDrive for Business, which you can use to control the default OneDrive for Business experience. The old experience, or the classic experience, is the one where we pretty much support different kind of set of customizations. People have been using custom themes, custom JavaScript embedding, even custom master pages within the, even in Office 365. That's not precisely recommended, but there are customers who've been using that for the OneDrive for Business site. In a new experience, the OneDrive for Business site is more aligned with the consumer experience. So essentially, it looks more aligned with the OneDrive for Business consumer, and more aligned with the Office 365, other Office 365 services as well. So it has the consistent consistency with Yammer or Delve as such. But there will be a limited set of customizations. It does support some level of branding customizations using Office 365 themes, but you are not allowed, or you cannot apply a custom theme or a custom master page for the new experience. And that's a really important to realize. So even though you wouldn't be falling or starting to use the new experience immediately, that's the direction where we're heading with the One Drive for Business. So you might want to rethink the requirements around the One Drive for Business customization and what has to be customized. And why do we need to do that customizations with the One Drive for Business sites? Is it truly needed? And if it is needed, you can still continue using the classic experience. Or then if it's not needed, you can take advantage of the service without any customizations, except a small OneDrive, small theming experience using the Office 365 themes. And then you are, well, at least you are much more cost efficient with the OneDrive service. Just to illustrate the different options, there's a slide where we have individual options and the supported capabilities. So obviously the default branding option for Office 365, the most cost efficient and the easiest thing to do is take advantage of Office 365 themes. And this is something what people can configure from the tenant settings. They can set some of the color schemes, some of the branding elements within the Office 365 level. And that will impact all of the individual services within Office 365. Because Office 365 is not just about SharePoint, it's not just about OneDrive for Business, there's multiple other services as well where you cannot apply custom, really significant branding. If you take advantage of Office 365 themes, you can still apply color scheme settings and some level of logo settings, which will be then consistently applied to all across all of the Office 365 services. So from a consistency perspective, you definitely always want to do this. Then if you need to do additional things, then that's another discussion. Office 365 themes are supported with the classic experience, and they're supported with the new experience as well. Flexibility is fair, so you're able to control some coloring settings, but not significantly. The cost impact is really small, because this is a configuration setting in the admin UI. There's nothing more than that. One of the things which has been actually changed pretty recently is the support of using SharePoint themes within the OneDrive for Business sites. And unfortunately, this is no longer supported. It's no longer supported within the classic experience, and it will not be supported in the new experience either. And that means that you should not be using SharePoint themes within the OneDrive for Business sites for applying branding or customizations. And this is a relatively recent change from autumn 2015. Well, obviously depends on when are you looking, listening or watching this video. Alternate CSS is one way of applying customizations, so custom branding or changing fonts. This is supported with the classic experience, but it's not supported with the new experience. The flexibility is relatively high because you're able to do pretty significant changes just by adding a alternate CSS for the OneDrive for Business sites. You're able to modify the colors and fonts and do even layout changes. I'm not quite sure if that's recommended, but you're able to do that. Configuration has to be applied in the site collection level. There's a clear difference on this one. So that means that if you would want to start using alternate CSS, you would have to apply the alternate CSS setting for every single site collection one by one, which is then opening up a customization challenge, which we're going to tackle in the upcoming slides. Office 365 themes, however, it's a one setting in a tenant level, and they will be applied to every single site collection automatically. Then the final option is embedded JavaScript. This is the option where the flexibility is absolutely really great. You're able to do whatever you want with an embedded JavaScript pattern. You have full control pretty much on what you want to embed to the site. You have to apply this also one by one for every single site collection. And obviously, there is a challenge if you're taking advantage of the embedded JavaScript. And we, as a Microsoft, we do new version releases within the OneDrive, which are changing the page structure. You need to have the capability of maintaining your JavaScript in an easy way. And that's really the reason why the cost impact is relatively high with this option. If you really want to make it cheap and make sure that you still have some level of a branding element supplied within OneDrive for business sites, take advantage of Office 365 themes. Any other options are not really available within the new experience, so you wouldn't get all the latest innovations within the OneDrive for business, and you would have to still remain in the classic experience like it has been within the Office 365 OneDrive for business sites. If you choose to use the old experience, and this is the model also what you can take advantage in on-premises for applying customizations for OneDrive for business sites or the My Sites in on-premises, this is the model what you can do to modify those sites. Typically what we would do, and the challenge once again with OneDrive for Business Sites is that the OneDrive for Business Sites are dynamically created whenever a user actually first time accesses them. You are unable to actually change that provisioning time logic. So we need to think outside of the box. And what we can do is that, as an example, we place an adding part, a hidden adding part, which doesn't actually have a UI, on the front page of the global intranet. It's quite typical that big enterprises have a default landing page whenever they open up their browser. And we would add that adding part as part of the front page of the intranet. What that adding part would actually do is that it would execute code, which will, first of all, it will check if the OneDrive for Business site exists already. If it doesn't, it would actually use the client-side object model to initiate the creation for OneDrive for Business sites for a particular user accessing the site. If the OneDrive for Business site already exists, we would then queue up the customization for the OneDrive for Business sites. And queuing up tasks in Office 365 or in the Azure, Microsoft Azure, is really easy when if we take advantage of the Microsoft Azure storage queues and the web jobs. So our provider hosted application or the add-in part, which is executing the provider hosted application in our server-side code, or actually it has to be a server-side code in our provider hosted platform, we would actually add a message to Microsoft Azure Storage Queue, which is essentially containing the information of the URL getting customized, and then whatever additional information you might want to store there. And at that point, the execution from an end-user perspective is completed because the following steps are completely asynchronous. As part of the storage queue, we're able to link a web job so that the web job will be automatically executed whenever there's a new item added to the message queue. And this is the asynchronous way of implementing anything dynamically in Office 365. So we add a message to the storage queue, that's the asynchronous part, that will automatically queue up the execution of the web job. And then the web job is the one which is actually applying the modifications to OneDrive for Business sites, using the information which we got in with that message, which was in the storage queue. So the storage queue message would contain then the URL of the particular OneDrive for Business sites, which we need to modify. And this way, we can apply customizations to OneDrive for Business sites if you're using the old experience. The new experience, you are unable to do that, because within the new experience, we don't support this level of customizations within the OneDrive for Business sites. Alternative option is then to have a timer job or remote timer job based process. And what we mean with that one is that, well, we do store OneDrive for Business sites and the URL for OneDrive for Business sites in the user profiles of individual end users. So we could easily queue up a remote timer job being executed either in on-premises or within the cloud, within the Microsoft Azure, let's say once an hour. And within that hour, it will access the OneDrive for Business, the user profiles, and it will check if there are any new sites which we need to modify. or if there are any sites which we need to upgrade to a version 2 of the customization and so on. So this is a really completely isolated from the end user behavior. So the end user doesn't have to do anything. And then magically at some point, the OneDrive for Business sites are being rebranded, or the needed customizations will be applied. And the third option for OneDrive for Business sites is then to use the pre-create option, which we covered earlier within the video as well. So you would actually take advantage of pre-creating individual OneDrive for Business sites for all of the end users. And then after that's completed, we would apply the needed changes and customizations to OneDrive for Business sites. And again, same thing only for the old experience. This would absolutely work for applying whatever customizations to the sites as needed. The key point in here, if you have ever customized the OneDrive for Business sites or My Sites in on-premises, you probably implemented the customization using a feature stapling or a embedded it's usually a feature stapling or anything on top of that. And that would then execute your feature receiver in full text code, and then you would apply those customizations in as part of the My Site creation. Within the cloud, within add-in model, we don't have a way to immediately apply any of these customizations to the OneDrive for Business sites immediately when they are created. Only the kind of a pre-create site option will provide you pretty much the same thinking, but there's no actual hooks to add code when the site is being provisioned for the OneDrive for Business sites. And let's have a look on this one. Again, this is for the old experience. So if you will continue using the old experience within Office 365, this would be one way of applying some level of customizations like branding to your OneDrive for Business sites if the Office 365 themes is not sufficient for your branding requirements. And that's really it. So let's actually do a quick summary on our recommendations, which we already mentioned when we started the video as well. So obviously we want you to use the CSAM client-side object model or the RESTful APIs for user profile operations, not the web service. The web service services, especially for Office 365, have been deprecated. Right now, I think they're still working, but they might not work in the future. So the client-side object model and the RESTful interface is the right thing to do. Use Yammer for the social capabilities, and you can do that also for on-premises, which is a cool thing. And really the major part of the module was concentrating then on the OneDrive for Business sites. And this is kind of an interesting discussion point. We are telling as a recommendation to avoid customizations with OneDrive for Business sites, but then at the same time, we showed how to do that with the classic experience. The reality is that the reason why we did that is that we need to be realistic on the fact that there's so many customers who are moving from on-premises to Office 365. And even though it would be a great time to reassess the need of having customizations in a OneDrive for Business sites, they might still choose to have them, even though the new experience and the roadmap for OneDrive for Business sites is heading to a direction where you should not have customizations. It might be still critical for some sense to have them. And that's really the reason why we did cover individual options for OneDrive for Business site customizations, even though you definitely should avoid them. And also the metadata section for OneDrive for Business sites is one thing to be, let's say, be aware. If you, for example, have a content types associated to your OneDrive for Business site library, and you would have a required columns or required metadata for the content for the documents within your OneDrive for Business sites, your synchronization would not even work. Because whenever the synchronization client would be trying to replicate a document from your own laptop or computer to OneDrive for Business sites, that missing metadata would be blocking actually getting the document in. So really, we should think about the OneDrive for Business sites as a free-form location for documents, a non-structural way of storing documents and personal documents, even though we might be sharing them efficiently with other customers and other people as well. And then if you have structural documents and structural elements, those are the ones which we would put actually on a SharePoint sites where you can take advantage of the information architecture and also, for example, metadata settings if you choose to do so. And that's really all we're going to do and cover on the video. We're not going to take any questions during the video recording. All of the techniques and samples you can find from Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices, so AKMS Office Dev PNP, and that will land you on the dev.office.com Patterns and Practices site or page, where you can find then all of the individual samples, information about what's happening and what are we releasing part of the Patterns and Practices guidance. If you have any questions, we do recommend you to use the Patterns and Practices Yammer group at AKMS Office Dev PNP Yammer. There's an official MSDN section around this guidance as well, AKMS Office Dev PNP MSDN. There's videos and training material for helping you to implement SharePoint add-ins in Office 365 in a recommended way. The Patterns and Practices for Office 365 does contain also a lot of other stuff, not only for SharePoint add-ins, and it's continuing growing to include unified API samples and Office client add-ins and so on. But this training was more about SharePoint add-ins. One URL to remember if you are really getting started on the SharePoint add-ins and the all the Office 365 development, go to dev.office.com. You'll find the Patterns and Practices guidance from there as well, and you can find a lot of training and a lot of other stuff from that side as well. Feedback is extremely crucial for us. We really want to hear what works and what doesn't work. If there's something what you didn't like about this presentation, just tell us and let's have a chat about the reasons and why didn't you like something what we mentioned. We cannot actually probably, well, let's be honest, we cannot change the behavior of the functionality. Well, we can. We're highly interested on your feedback on the functionalities and released capabilities within Office 365. And also your opinions about the training material. Use the Stack Overflow for questions, and then if there are suggestions or feedback or missing APIs, please use the office-sbdev.uservoice.com as the channel for submitting those. There's quite a few of them items there, and trust me, we are following up on those gaps. What are you submitting? And that's all we're going to do within this video. So thank you for listening, and hopefully the video was useful around the user profile and personalization capabilities with SharePoint add-ins. Thank you.